Nick, it's a pleasure to have you. I don't believe we've ever spoken before. You're a recent graduate of Slippery Rock. Am I right about that?
No.
One of the great intros that we have at this station, I think. It's Nick Faribault from Penn Live. Nick, I'm going to start in a very unusual spot. You know, it wasn't what everybody was talking about last night, but it sure was something that Troy Aikman touched upon. And that was Dylan Cook. If they're going to keep Aaron Rodgers clean, they're going to have a chance to beat anybody if you keep that guy clean. Dylan Cook steps in and he's Jonathan Ogden for a night. What is happening here? Where'd this guy come from? And what exactly transpired? And what do we have to look forward to with Dylan Cook at left tackle if he stays there?
Yeah, just a really fun story. I mean, a former quarterback that was turned into an offensive tackle. He played at an NAIA school. I mean, he was in a really small school, then eventually transferred up to Montana and became an offensive tackle, a legitimately good one. He's super smart. You can see the background there. He's got great footwork.
Yeah.
I remember when he first came in last year from the Buccaneers, they claimed him, I believe, during OTAs or minicamp. And he was at training camp, and he had a pretty good camp. He made the 53-man roster. And then you kind of saw him just get injured and injured. He had suffered a foot injury. Then he had a knee injury. It was just unfortunate. He had the kind of requisite traits that you would look at and say, there might be something here, and I think you're kind of seeing it now. He looks good. I do remember when he came to Pittsburgh and made the 53-man roster, he told me that there was a Buccaneers scout that told him they wished that they hadn't cut him.
Wow.
Because there was so much potential oozing out of him. And I think you kind of see it now. It's just one game, but against Bradley Chubb, that's not a scrub, you know, he faced. He did a very nice job. And so really hats off to Dylan Cook. Even when he was put on an island and they didn't give him help, I thought he held up extremely well. It's been a long time coming for him. He's got a great journey, but he played at a really high level, and maybe they have something here. He could be one of those hidden gems.
Does he keep the job then, no matter what?
I think that remains to be seen. I would let him keep the job. Listen, Andres Pete, I thought, struggled in pass pro when he played. I think he's a better run blocker probably than Cook is right now. But I also think you look at what Cook brings to the table, he brings more athleticism, so I think you can open up the playbook a little more with some different screens, things that require your tackles to get into space. I think he fits the DNA of the offensive line a little more, given that fact. So I would let him keep the offensive tackle job there on the left side. And especially with Sayamalo hurt, you know, I was kind of having this discussion in the press box yesterday with some people. I was like, if Sayamalo can't play against the Lions, what do you think their lineup is going to be? And I think that actually opens up, maybe you play Andres Pete at left guard, which is his natural spot for most of his career. That's where he played. So you could keep Dylan Cook at left tackle and then keep Andres Pete maybe at left guard, or make Andres Pete kind of the jumbo package guard to keep Spencer Anderson at that jumbo tight end spot. So I think keeping him there makes a lot of sense given the state of the offensive line.
If this keeps up, he may make the Steelers' decision on Broderick Jones and that fifth year real easy. Yes?
He could. And listen, he's got a really good litmus test this week. Aiden Hutchinson is no scrub either. He is
right.
One of the best edge rushers in football. And so he usually rushes on the right side, Aiden Hutchinson, which would be Faltanu's side. But if the Lions are smart, they're going to flip that. They're going to try and test Dylan Cook. And so we're going to, I think, learn a lot about Dylan Cook over the next few weeks, especially if he has to play against Cleveland. We get to see that Myles Garrett matchup, and I think that would be a really good one too. So he's not got an easy road ahead of him.
This is honestly a fascinating story. I didn't mean to start with Pete and Cook, but when you have a 42-year-old quarterback and his blind side is suddenly being protected beautifully, that's a good thing. Although I thought Jones was playing well before he got hurt too. All right, let's move on to Aaron Rodgers. Are you inspired that these last 2 weeks are foretelling things to come with him? Is this going to keep up? What do you think of his performance?
Well, I thought he played really well. You know, I think he followed up what I thought was his best game in maybe 3 years with another really good game. Now, this wasn't anything near, I think, the levels of what he did in Baltimore, because I just thought the level of difficulty of some of the throws in Baltimore was so high, he just made them pay. I did think the touchdown throw to Metcalf, I mean, that is an absolute seed. That is a tough throw, a tight window throw over the middle of the field, and he ripped it. He's confident in his receivers. I think that's what you're seeing. I think that might be the more unintentional consequence of Thielen and MVS playing. I don't even think they're making a huge difference schematically or how defenses play the Steelers. I do think Aaron Rodgers is just really confident to rip throws he wasn't ripping before. And so I think that is really positive. Listen, I'm not sure if this is going to keep up because I think we've seen this year Rodgers has been a bit of a roller coaster himself, just like the Steelers, right? One week he's really good. The next, you see performances like he put up in L.A., for example.
Yeah.
But I do think if he can stay in this zone, and I like to call this his zone because it makes him one of the better point guards in the game right now when he can play like this. And every now and then you get two or three plays per game where he dials back the clock and you see the high end of Aaron Rodgers. It's not going to be there consistently, but if you can get Rodgers in a game manager zone where he makes two or three plays when he has to put the team on his back, that's the best version of Aaron Rodgers. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing. So it's very, I think, promising. But they do have three games here and three against some decent defenses. I mean, the Lions aren't a great defense. They certainly have their own issues in the secondary. And I think the Steelers have a shot here this week to actually put up some points by throwing the ball against the Lions.
Yeah.
But I do think what Rodgers is showing right now, especially after that rough stretch from L.A., then getting injured, and then coming back when he really struggled in that first game back from the wrist injury, it's really promising to see how he's kind of responded to that.
Yeah, and I like the point guard analogy. And I want them to be explosive in the pass game, don't get me wrong. But there's a variety of weapons here, guys who can do some damage between Gainwell and Warren. And we saw a little bit of what Jonnu Smith can actually do last night, and Freiermuth and Metcalf. Like, there's guys sprinkled in, and lots of them, where that dink and dunk, for lack of a better phrase, can actually be effective and work as a de facto run game and set up plays down the field. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's almost like that's what happened, right? It was fun. That's what opened up the MVS touchdown. They were all on the dink and dunk, the run game, and then boom, you hit them with a play action cross concept and you get the touchdown. It was funny. That touchdown was on the same concept that the Seahawks and Jets killed them on in week one, too. I think Arthur Smith may have filed that one away until the right time. But that is exactly the right way to think about it. And the Steelers, when they have been at their best offensively this year, have been a phenomenal team after the catch. This team, to kind of say what they have after the catch, I think they have a lot of dog in them after the catch. I just think they're tough to bring down. You think about Jonnu, Darnell Washington, it took 10 dudes to get him down on that one play. Both running backs certainly fit that model. DK Metcalf just absolutely hurtling and throwing off Minka Fitzpatrick. I just think you see that throughout this team's build, specifically at the pass catchers. You just see them being tough to bring down in space. And when you can tackle them in space, that's not an easy thing to do. That's when their offense really struggles because you put them behind the sticks. But when they get in space and you can do that, you see them really kind of flourish. And I thought Jonnu kind of showcased the way he should have been utilized all year. You know, you got him more touches in space this game. Got a screen pass, got that toss. He's a guy that when he is in space is tough to bring down. He's a big-bodied. Oh, he's almost got this bigger running back build. He's 6 foot two, but he's stocky. And so that's kind of what he is. And so this team is a yak-built team that is willing to dink and dunk because it's hard to tackle them in space. There's just not a lot of great tackling teams in football right now.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And it's 1120. Make the smart call. Buell Insurance, 724-443-5610. Nick Farabaugh from PennLive.com joining us right now. Great on the Steelers, great on pro football. Mike Tomlin news conference top of the hour. Limits the mere thought of leaving you out of this conversation has Nick Farabaugh near tears.
Nick, I think that one thing that made me definitely not tear up, actually maybe some tears of joy, is that they utilized the middle of the field, including on that DK Metcalf touchdown, and including Kenneth Gainwell at times being able to utilize his speed and agility. How much do you think that can continue against the Lions, or is that just matchup-based with Miami?
Well, the middle of the field in this matchup was definitely matchup based. They play so much cover two. That was a natural thing. Now, the Lions are kind of a coverage outlier in terms of how they run their defense. They run a lot of cover two man. That's just not a common coverage nowadays, but they do it. And so that's something that's going to be different. But I think it can be something they utilize. I mean, look at what they did over the middle of the field. They had two really big plays to Pat Freiermuth over the middle of the field. They had that touchdown to Metcalf. They had a really nice drawn-up play to MVS. I know it ended up outside the hashes, but that was a middle-of-the-field concept. So they were continuously beating the middle of the field. And that's what you should do when you see that cover two coverage, because then it makes the flats open. And we saw that whenever the Steelers were able to hit the middle of the field, you saw them sag off Gainwell on the edge. He was able to catch the ball and get some really good yardage on the edge. And so that is exactly how you work an offense together. And so the middle of the field's tough to open up sometimes. It is the most dangerous area of the field. But when you are ripping it with confidence like Rodgers was, and you can make throws like he did, he can still make tight window throws over the middle of the field. We saw that on the Metcalf touchdown. It was an unbelievable high-level throw. I mean, I'm going to venture to say 85% of quarterbacks cannot make that throw. Rodgers at 42 still has the juice in his arm to make tight window throws. So the middle of the field, you can see it gives you explosives. That's what they need. They can be a dink and dunk offense that runs the ball heavily if they can get chunk gains over the middle of the field off those plays to set that up. And so that's exactly the type of offense Arthur Smith and Mike Tomlin want. And really, when they can just impose their size, I really think that's the start of all of that. You know, when they impose their size, they just mash people. I thought that's really what happened in the second half. The Steelers just mashed the Dolphins up front, and it ended up opening everything, the middle of the field and all of that, to kind of work off it.
Yeah, man, it really did. And I thought that their first drive of the second half, they just did what was sensible, which was the run game's working, so keep handing it off. Just keep handing it off, and then the play action just becomes really, really easy. All right. Set up the Lions game for us, Nick. What are we looking at here? I guess a team with an extremely depleted secondary and an explosive offense, yes?
That's exactly what you're looking at. This is a Lions team that is still very explosive offensively. You think about Jameson Williams and Jahmyr Gibbs when you talk about the explosiveness they have, and then they have a phenomenal chain mover in Amon-Ra St. Brown, who needs no endorsement from me. Their offensive line still, I think, is a little exploitable. They still have a great player in Penei Sewell, of course, but guys like Taylor Decker, maybe not the player he once used to be. They have struggles on the interior, and I think that's something, you know, if you can get Derek Harmon back, maybe the Steelers can try and exploit that a little bit. Throw Jared Goff off schedule. Jared Goff, really good on schedule. He'll make anticipation throws, but when you can get some pressure on him, that's when you can start to get him into those turnover-worthy plays. That's what the Steelers need in this matchup, to slow them down. In terms of their defense, you know, it's going to be all about playing up front. I mean, that's really where the Steelers have to win. They have to win in these trenches, because if you can get on the secondary of the Lions, I think that's where you get the explosives. The Steelers are not going to fool anybody by having an elite wide receiver room, but they do have tight ends. I think that can exploit some of the seam balls. And when you miss Brian Branch, Kirby Joseph, and Terrion Arnold in that Lions secondary, I mean, it's just battered. So, you know, you would hope, you know, I would come out, honestly, very similarly to how the Steelers played the Ravens. They're going to get a lot of cover two man, so they're going to get some help. So DK Metcalf is probably going to be pretty bracketed in this game. I don't think you're going to be able to just throw deep balls down the sideline to him, which means I think you're going to be able to maybe hit some big plays to other guys. So I would think about, you know, playing off that, trying to hit deep posts, hit the seam balls early in the game. This, to me, I mean, when you look at cover two, it screams Pat Freiermuth. That's the one guy it screams to me. So this could be a big game for 88.
Yeah, man. Amen to all of that. Nick Farabaugh from Penn Live. You can read his stuff there. He's on his way to the Tomlin News Conference. We're going to be carrying that live at the top of the hour. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it as always.
What a nice man he is, huh, Limits?
And there will be a special surprise tomorrow with Nick Farabaugh, if you're able to attend our big station event tomorrow.
Tell people about our big station event, Limits, if you would. Actually, I will. May I?
Please.
For one night only, tomorrow, Wednesday, December 17th, our Odyssey Pittsburgh stations, The Fan, 100.1 FM, AM 1020 KDKA, 100.7 Star, WAMO 107.3 and Y108 will be flipping the turntables, turning Mike's Beer Bar into the biggest Christmas karaoke spot on the North Shore when our on-air hosts and local celebrities take the mic for celebrity karaoke. There's a rumor going around that you and I may be singing Malzi the Snowman.
There's a rumor going around that Nick Faribault might be joining me to sing a karaoke song. He's a local celebrity.
Wow.
Yeah, how about that?
No admission costs, but if you could, please bring canned food donations to support North Hills Cares. Details at 937thefan.com. Would love to see you there. I can't wait. And I think I'm going to sing, it's our greatest hit. Why don't you take us out with that? Get people in the Christmas spirit. Don't go beyond the Bob solo because that's when the song fell apart.
Now, the Fan's Christmas Chorus brings you Malzi the Snowman.
Oh, Malzi the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul. With a giant bald head and a button nose, his favorite picture was Garrett Cole. Oh, Malzi the Snowman is a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow, but the listeners know how he came to life one day.
There must have been some magic in that oversized hat they found. For when they placed it on his head, Malzi danced around.